The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather. See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where I am experiencing some echo. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are as follows. 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. BTC Flow Channel 612. You know, if you have elderly people in your life, like your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather, some grand or great, or grand or great-grand, uncle or aunt. If you watch the friendships they have developed with some people, the friendships are so close that as you grow up, you can't even distinguish between the fact that they are not your blood relatives and just your elderly person's friend. And I had that experience where my siblings had that experience growing up with my mother and some of her friends, two of them in particular. You could not tell us that Talitha Strawn and Kiva Johnson were not my mother's actual sisters. I mean, we knew theoretically they were friends, but their closeness, their bond was so tight that they were practically like aunts, you know? And I have wonderful blood relatives, aunts, right? But these friends of my mother were just that close to her. And, you know, it was just a joy. Anytime we had occasion to be around them, it was just like you were around family, and they loved and treated you as such, and their children and us, you know, we kind of grew up like kind of like them that way, the cousins kind of way, right? And within the last 2 days, one of those good friends of my mother passed away, Kiva Johnson. And it hit her hard. It was certainly one of those wow things. Just like with Talitha Strawn, we call her sister, Melanie Griffin's mom and her siblings. And, you know, when I was in the House of Assembly with Melanie, from time to time, she would say to me, "Don't let me have to call Nana for you." And I might have to whisper back, "Don't let me have to call sister for you." And so I want to express our condolences, deep condolences, to the family of Kiva Johnson. Wonderful, wonderful human being in our lives on her passing. And I know how difficult and challenging that must be for them. And certainly my mother, who I indicated to you, it hit her hard. I don't want to say much more than that, but it hit her hard. God bless you all, comfort you in this your challenge. So I have a question for you. In the Guardian, the Nassau Guardian today, former Attorney General Sean Queenie, who I believe is bar none, one of the most brilliant human beings in the Bahamas, rich in history, perspective, context. I've had the privilege of just reading things he writes, whether it's a short note or a long note, and or conversating with him. Just really a brilliant man, brilliant. And he's in the Nassau Guardian commenting on the fact that 10 years after the commission he chaired, the Constitutional Reform Commission he chaired, appointed by the former Prime Minister, Perry Christie, that 10 years after that commission's reporting, notwithstanding all of the recommendations that it has made, that no amendments have been made to the Constitution of the Bahamas. Now, we know that attempts were made to amend the Constitution, but no real amendments to the Constitution of any significance have been made. As the commission pointed out in its report, there were minor amendments made to the Constitution, minor. But they were more rhetorical than anything else. All right. And but in terms of any substantial amendments to the Constitution, no such amendments have been made. And so I want to be a bit provocative and ask you, that our Constitution has not been amended, whose fault is it? Is it the politician's fault, or is it you, the Bahamian people's fault? Whose fault is it? We know that Mr. Ingram attempted to make an amendment to the Constitution. We know that Mr. Christie, well, he had a referendum. He didn't try to amend the Constitution. Yes, he did. He did try to amend the Constitution. Whatever attempts were made, they all failed. Y'all, the Bahamian people, said no. No, shall not be done. Now, the gambling referendum, so that wasn't a constitutional one. But whatever attempts that were made to amend the Constitution failed. Now, you know, when Mr. Ingram attempted to amend the Constitution, there were two provisions in that referendum that passed the House of Assembly and did not require your approval by way of referendum and order for it to be changed, because those were not entrenched provisions. They had to do with the parliamentary commissioner, and the other one had to do with the Teacher Service Commission. Both of those passed in the House of Assembly with the requisite number of votes. But what Mr. Ingram decided was, since you did not approve them, even though he could have enacted them, he would not do so because you said no. That was unlike what was done with the gambling referendum, where you said no, and the government went ahead and did it anyhow, right? So, but whose fault is it? Whose fault? Why can we, celebrating 50 years of independence, raving about the maturity and maturing of our country, why can we not amend our Constitution? Is our Constitution so grand, so great, so perfect that it ought not to be amended? Or do we agree it shouldn't be amended, but we still said on any occasion where we attempted to amend it, even for the sake of creating equality between Bahamian men and Bahamian women, and between Bahamian married women and Bahamian single women, we still said, no, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? And 50 years later, when we're celebrating the 50 years of independence, should we take that and slap ourselves on the wrist and say, but boy, we might have been all right on this side of life, but that side of life, we were terrible. Whose fault was it? Was it that the politicians were just too ignorant, uninformed, too corrupt, too incompetent? Or was it that the Bahamian people were too ignorant, uninformed, too confused to not be able to do so? What? Whose fault is it? Why have we not amended our Constitution? You know, 50 years it's been in existence, and in all the 10 years since, listen to me. I, Shivago Sean Lyne, have read, listened, discussed with many Bahamians. And this is what I hear all the time. What we need to get experts together. And the people who know these things, these politicians don't know nothing, so we need to get the experts together and let the experts make recommendations, and then we'll be able to move forward. Well, the Constitution Commission had the former Attorney General, a superb, superb King's Counsel in Sean McQueenie. And he was assisted by many a learned others in their going through. And you like to say, oh, well, you know, we don't consult the Bahamian people, but Mr. McQueenie, Carl Bethel, Madam Justice Ruby Nottage, Mr. Lauren Klein, Mr. Lester Mortimer Jr., Madam Tara Cooper Burnside, Mr. Mark Wilson, Madam Olivia Saunders, a professor, Michael Stevenson, Chandra Sands, Carla Brown Roker, Brandis Duncanson, and Michael Aubrey. All of these folks, only two of them, one was a former attorney general in the Progressive Liberal Party. One was a former attorney general in the FNM, and was appointed by a Prime Minister Christie to look at the Constitution and to make recommendations. All these expert people did so, and we still ain't do squat. What happened? What's the problem? 30, 50 years later, same Constitution, same document. Same governing document. We haven't been able to do anything about it. The commission made all kinds of recommendations. It's an extensive report provided by the commission. They had meetings on meetings, and I don't know that at any meeting the commission had more than 100 people show up. I don't know. And don't tell me there wasn't advertised, because I recall the advertisements. But none. Mission, we have not amended our. What's the problem? What's the problem? Do we and can we ever? Like intelligent people, an intelligent group of people, mature group of people, come to look at our supreme document. And decide that its imperfections need be perfected and proceed to do so. Might we do that? Let me say some things about our constitution and what it represents, first of all. So in a state, in a democracy, unlike a monarchy, all the power resides in the people. Not in you individually or me individually, but in the collective body of citizens of the state, right? Remember I told you all that the first office of a state is the office of citizenship. It is the precursor office to holding every other office, at least political office in the country. So one can't be a member of parliament, which is to sit in that office, without holding the office of citizenship. One can't sit in the office of senator without holding the office of citizen. One cannot therefore become a cabinet minister and hold that office without being a office holder of citizenship, and one cannot be prime minister without holding the office of citizenship. You can be a member of the judiciary without being a holder of the office of citizen. You could do that, but you can't be the police commissioner unless you hold the office of citizen. I mean, we don't run it like that. We could do it, but we don't run it like that, right? So all the power of the state is resident in the collective people. And so by virtue of the way we organize ourselves to govern ourselves, this is what we do. We take that 100% power resident in the people, distribute some of the power to smaller groups of people. So we take some of the power and we give it to some people we call legislators. And we say to them, you have the power in the House of Assembly, in the Parliament, to make any law, saving and accept a law that contravenes the Constitution. And if you wish to amend the Constitution, here is a procedure for you to do it. You have to have a certain amount, 2/3 or 75%, depending on the provision in the House of Assembly, vote on it. And then you can get that change if it is not an entrenched provision. If it is an entrenched provision, you got to get that vote, and then you got to come to me, and I have to, in the majority, approve it, and then you can amend the Constitution that way. So that's the delegated power given to the legislators of the country. So you give them some power. Then you take some of the power, and you give it to the branch of government. You say, with that power, you have the general direction and control of the government. So they can make decisions about your foreign policy, about your education system, about your public health, because you gave them that power, that group of people called the cabinet. And then to some, you gave the power to interpret your laws created by your legislators, proposed by your executives. And you said to them, the judiciary, your job is to interpret the law. So whatever you say is the correct reading of the law, it shall be the reading of the law. Your job is to hear matters of breach of the law, and by either jury or trial or judge, you decide on the rightness or wrongness of the case. That's the power you give to them. It's your power. Now, if the people had not given those powers to those groups of people, the people would have to do their own legislating, meaning not 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Meaning how many
citizens there are would have to come to an assembly, 200,000-400,000 of them, come to an assembly, and they would have to make laws. I want you to imagine that taking place. How many hundreds of thousands of us there are would have to be responsible for the direction and control of the country. And I want you to imagine that cabinet working. How many hundreds of thousands of us there are have to go and sit in court as judges and jury and hear cases by ourselves. And I want you to imagine that happens. You see how mob rule or mass rule is so impractical for a state. And this is why you have this apportionment of the power of the people as you have it. But there is some power you retain to yourself. You retain for yourself. And one of those powers is to determine who sits in the parliament. So you can't get to a prime minister without going through the parliament. You can't get to the Senate without going through the parliament, because it's the prime minister and the leader of the opposition together who appoint the senator. So if they can't get to the parliament in the first place, you can't get to them, and they therefore can't do their job. And you can't get to the judges without going through the parliament, because it is in the first instance, it is the prime minister and those through the Judicial Service Commission and those who appoints the Judicial Service Commission and those who will eventually appoint judges. So, gentlemen, the elected officials of the country, that the ability to get there is retained to yourself. So no one can self-appoint themselves. I am a member of parliament. You can't.
Perfect live. Moment.
And you could be as powerful a human being as you want. You cannot say, oh, I want him to be member of parliament. I want her to be member of parliament. It can't happen. You can only come to the people by way of an election to get there. And that's the power you retain for yourself. It is a great power, but because it's exercised in 5-year intervals, sometimes you don't feel like you really have it. And so you kind of really only get a sense of it when the time gets near. You're listening to Zee Live. We're talking about this constitution and whose fault it is that we couldn't amend it. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send me know.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone, holler if you feel like you've been
can't
down
claim
the same
this.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So glad you could join us today. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So we have this constitution. It represents the instructions, the legal, supreme legal instructions to the citizenry regarding the boundaries of their conduct. That's what it represents. It represents to all and sundry, be it you as an individual, me as an individual, to the parliament, to the judiciary, to the executive. It is an instruction, a legal instruction, supreme instruction to all of us as to how we ought to conduct ourselves. It incorporates all the fundamental rights and freedoms that we have. It establishes all the offices of state. And all those perennial institutions of state necessary for the conduct of an orderly state. It even gives instructions to the law about how it can operate, in that it says, you can represent something that contradicts what I say to you. Now, the Constitution is a construction of men and women. Men in particular, in our case, as a matter of history, right? It's a construction of human beings. And human beings, for all their goodwill and all their noble intents, are imperfect. Imperfect in their intelligence, imperfect in their perspectives, imperfect in their execution of things. And therefore, it is not surprising that the Constitution is imperfect. It was created by imperfect people. It was borrowed from an imperfect society that once thought itself so grand, so great, that it could enslave other societies, colonize them, and call them their own. And it was from that society that we borrowed our tenets in the main. They were imperfect. Borrowed our imperfect self upon their imperfections. And we incorporated that imperfection in this document. And so it is only reasonable that maturing people would want to perfect or to strive toward perfecting that which is imperfect in their state. Not only is the Constitution imperfect, it's dynamic. It understands that it exists in an evolving society. You say, well, Shabaga, how does the Constitution say that? Well, you would not make provision for your own change if you didn't think change would be necessary. If the Constitution thought it was perfect and thought there would never be occasion for its own changing, it would make provisions for no changing of itself. But it has made provision for its changing of itself, meaning that the founders anticipated that in an evolving society, in an evolving world, it may be necessary to amend the Constitution, and made such provision for such amending within the Constitution itself. It's a living document. So reasonable people, maturing people, might expect to one day change its Constitution. But the Constitution is also the embodiment of the aspirations of a people. And aspirations of a people are never unified. They never, what do you call that word again, where everything is the same? monolithic. It's never monolith. Right? Even when we were striving for independence, not all agreed that we should be independent. Even a thing which now most people would say, oh, Ori Bame wanted to be independent. No, it's not so. So the Constitution itself, while being an embodiment of aspirations, does not embody the aspirations of every group of people. And we know that to be true today. Why do we know that to be true? We know that to be true today because some of us believe that it is okay for Bahamian men to have rights with respect to citizenship that Bahamian women do not have. Why do we know that? Because some of us voted yes and some of us voted no. We know that some of us believe that it is okay for Bahamian married women to be deprived of privileges that Bahamian single women don't have when it comes to passing on their citizenship to that for children that they had with foreign men. We know that to be true. So even the aspirations of the Constitution, while noble in some ways, don't reflect all of us. And therefore, that conflict of aspirations is something that has to be resolved in any effort and attempt to get at changing the Constitution. We also know that the Constitution, it can be subject to the political narrow partisanship of its people. That some people will not change the Constitution simply because the proposal to change it came from a party opposite it, or came too near to an election such that an affirmative vote might give a favorable support to a party in office, and therefore will vote against that because it won't vote against its own narrow political interests. We know that to be true too, because it is a document that is a part of the humanity of the people of the country. Document, the supreme document, and in so many ways, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It gives me the right, nothing else, gives me the right to say on this radio station, responsibly, anything I would like to say. It gives me freedom of speech. It gives me the ability to go anywhere in this country and associate myself with any other group of people I wish. It gives me the right to have my life and property respected and regarded under law. It preserves me, my labor.
By anyone. It
keeps me
being legally enslaved by anyone. And my children and you and your children. Beautiful document. That privileges we sometimes do not think about. By the way, I came by some years ago, some Bahamas Independence Order. And you know, the Bahamas Independence Order also has included in it the Constitution. And so I have about maybe 30 such books and so forth. Now, these days you can get that online. But if you are somebody who wants to hold a physical copy of that book, and I only have 30. If you, somebody wants to hold a physical copy of that book, if you are in Nassau, Grand Bahama, Luther, et cetera, if you, the first, I say 30, but it might be less than that, the first set of people who WhatsApp me on 439-3043 and tell me, I would like to have one of those books, I should give one of those books to you. Okay? I have those copies, the yellow bounded books. 439-3043. If you wish to have a copy, you let me know. You text me, you WhatsApp me, and I shall include it. After that, if you hear me say, sorry, they're all gone, that's only because I've had all the folks WhatsApp me who who number in the number I have. But it is a, it's a beautiful thing to have. And so, so let me, so one of the things I'm doing with it, I haven't started yet, but I'm doing with it because we're going to, me and my son have some cliff notes to classic books. So what I do is in an evening, I will have him sit on the sofa and so will I. And for 15 minutes, we sit and we do nothing, say nothing. It's meditation time, no TV, no nothing, nothing. We just sitting there, we're just sitting there. Cause I'm trying to stop his brain, like my brain, from just constantly going and just doing and distracting itself from just presence and being. So we do that. And then afterwards we have, he has one of the Cliff Notes books. I have one on the Cliff Notes books on the classics, and then we go through them. And we're going to do the very same thing with the Bahamas Independence Order. You may want to try them. That's up to you. Okay, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host. So glad that you could join us today. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all.
So much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's Funeral Industry Partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Welcome
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers: 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I'm getting your WhatsApp and text. I have it. Okay. By the way, please let me know if you're in Nassau, Freeport, or wherever you are, because whenever I am in either, I will therefore leave them at a spot where you can collect them with your name on it. So you got to give me your full name, because if you tell me you name Dave, and plenty of people name Dave, it can be a problem. So you need to give your full name, you know, full name, so we can get it to you. Okay. So we have this constitution, this document that means so much, that does so much in its own quiet way. It doesn't scream at us, pay attention to me. It doesn't holler. It doesn't make a fuss. It doesn't kick up. It's there. It hangs over the totality of our lawful conduct in the country. When we feel like our fundamental rights have been abused, we go to the courts and we say to the courts, but the Constitution gives me this right, yet it has been abused by him, by her, by them, by it. And the court is obliged to examine the issue and to look at the Constitution and say, yes, on the preponderance of evidence that you have presented, this right that was given to you in the Constitution of the Bahamas has been breached. It is something to violate any person's right under any law, but to do so under the supreme law of the country is to make a fundamental abuse of a person's right. And the Constitution quietly provides us with this lawful pablum, this lawful protection, this undergirding sense of order, this commanding right of respect. And yet, for us to do for it what we would want for ourselves, make me more perfect, make me more mature, make me better. And in turn, I will make you better, more mature, and more perfect. And every effort we've made, we failed at it. Why? Why? Whose fault is it? Why have we failed at this effort? Not only in terms of referendums, but even in proceeding on the recommendations of an expert group of people on the issue. Why have we done so? Why have we failed that way? Why have we done so? Why? What's the problem? What's the problem? All the yeoman cry from us of how the Constitution. Why have we so irreverently treated this document? Why would we not honor the document and change it so that it could be more perfect? Where did we go wrong? What was the problem? This text says, where do I start with this? Notwithstanding the fact that the wording in the Constitution presents difficulty and comprehension, we the people are at fault. We don't demand a change from the politicians, and when the opportunity for change presents itself, we put party alignment over change. Oh, geez, soul. Let me read it again. Let me read it again for you. Where do I start with this? Notwithstanding the Constitution presents difficulty in comprehension, we the people are at fault. We don't demand a change from politicians, and when the opportunity for change presents itself, we put party alignment over change. Is that true? Is that what is happening? Is that what's been the case? That's party alignment over the Constitution itself, really? I mean, what the FNM proposed this thing, and ain't no way on planet Earth I'm going to let the FNM get a win in a referendum and therefore cause my party to look bad come election. That's what's going to, or the PLP proposed this, so therefore I am not going to permit them to win in order for the people to think they so good and then vote us out. Mm-mm, Jack, no. Mm-mm, keep them in. Mm-mm, I ain't doing that. Is the language complicated? Is this a complicated language? Whereas 480 years ago, the rediscovery of this family of islands, rocks, and keys heralded the rebirth of the new world. And whereas the people of this family of islands recognized that the preservation of their freedom would be guaranteed by a national commitment to self-discipline, industry, loyalty, unity, and an abiding respect for Christian values and the rule of law. Now know ye therefore, we, the inheritors and successors to this family of islands, recognizing the supremacy of God and believing in the fundamental rights and freedoms of the individual, do hereby proclaim in solemn praise the establishment of a free and democratic sovereign nation founded on spiritual values, and in which no man, woman, or child shall ever be slave or bondsman to anyone, or their labor exploited, or their lives frustrated by deprivation, and do hereby provide by these articles for the invisible unity and creation under God, of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Man, I have to tell you, I got goose pimples reading that. This is the Constitution, first chapter. The Commonwealth of the Bahamas shall be a sovereign democratic state. This Constitution is the supreme law of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and subject to the provisions of this Constitution, if any other law is inconsistent with this Constitution shall prevail, and the other law shall, to the extent of the inconsistency, be void. You realize what that's saying, right? That's saying like all of a law need not be inconsistent with the Constitution. A part of it can be. So a part of it being inconsistent doesn't make the rest of it that's consistent inconsistent. Says about citizenship, right? I told you it's the first office of state set up that first office. So the first thing you hear after the establishment of the Bahamian state is the establishment of the office of citizenship within the Bahamian state. And it says, every person who having been born in the former colony of the Bahama Islands is on 9th July 1973 a citizen of the United... Okay. Listen to me, people. Listen to this. Every person who having been born in the former colony of the Bahama Islands is on 9th July 1973 a citizen of the United Kingdom and colonies shall become a citizen of the Bahamas on July 10, 1973. See, he was a citizen of the United Kingdom or of the colonies before. Not a citizen of the Bahamas. You became that on July 10th. I don't know that the language is too complicated. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it could be cumbersome, for sure. But I don't know that it's too complicated. It does take some to follow, because, you know, you got an understanding provision and article, do something, doing, you got to do that. And that's a matter of logical, like, discipline and following. This text says that is exactly what happens. It doesn't matter how much education we do. We look to see what our party says, and that is what we go with, even if it is to our detriment. Wow. You think so? You really think so? This text says the people's fault needs a referendum, correct? Yes, we politicize everything. You mean we shooting ourselves in the foot for party on to perfect our supreme document? It's Texas. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I would like, you'd like to receive one of the books. Okay. So good afternoon. Reference my previous, okay. I got you one. All right, so we got two people who so far tell me it's the people's fault. Us, we, and say we can't change the Constitution because we prioritize our political parties. Now, you know, Mr. McQueenie indicated that the referendums have had challenges to the extent that, you know, that close to an election, but even getting to a referendum now is difficult because parties aren't willing to take the risk anymore. There's the track record of failure is too great for them to even take the risk, because everyone who tried it, when the referendum, you know what happened, the election came up, boom. Mind you, my own experience is, that's true. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a break for news, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after the news break. Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road. And I just can't keep living this way. So starting today, I'm breaking out of this cage. I'm standing up, I'm gonna face my demons. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I noticed you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Make sure to update Shaq and Talks more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
Those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here on this beautiful Wednesday. If you want to join in this conversation, I'm a couple of people. Whose fault? We didn't change the Constitution in 50 years. We didn't change it within the 10 years of the last commission report on it. Why? What's the problem? Stupid politicians, stupid people. What's the problem? Smart politicians, smart people. What's the problem? What's going on? If you want to call, give us a call. 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Or you can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You got issues with immigration. You've got issues with natural resources. You've got issues with even legal migration. You've got issues of land. You've got issues of political power and procedure. Well, you know, some of those issues don't get addressed without some reform to the Constitution. But now we're told people are scared. The politicians are scared. They're scared of you. Scared of you. You. First of all, you don't only just say no. You, after you say no, when they come back, you say no to them. Let me give you an inside view on the process from the perspective of the government. Now, when the FNM decided to make an attempt to amend the Constitution in 2001, as you know, I was in the government. And I was a younger politician then. One of the youngest cabinet ministers then. The decision to do so, from all the discussions we held, was predicated on nothing other than this grand opportunity to bring equality among Bahamian men and women and Bahamian married women and Bahamian single women in a way that was not possible or had not been taken up before. There was no discussions around anything other than that grand opportunity. Of course, it was led by Prime Minister Ingram, who had first expressed the desire to see women move forward in the country insofar as their participation and equity was concerned, or equality was concerned. And as you know, did many a things to do that, in appointing the first female speaker, the first female governor general, the first female chief justice, and so forth and so forth and so forth, the first female director of public works, and the list goes on, right? And so this was not anything strange to his own, to that point. And I must confess that we didn't see any complications in it. We did not anticipate any complications in it. Discussions were held with the opposition. And from all appearances, nobody disagreed that this equality made sense. And proof of that was in the House of Assembly. Practically everyone voted affirmative amendment to the Constitution. Y'all don't forget that though. Everybody, practically, and other than people who weren't there. I think there may have been but one abstention, if that. But all the Prime Minister, former leader of the opposition then, Perry Christie and all his crew did so. And as we were advancing, from my own perspective, the society seemed like this would be a favorable thing, that this would be something that was doable. And I have to tell you, I was sitting there, I was there when it happened. The about turn that Mr. Christie and his team did, I mean, it was sudden. It was like, y'all know when you're driving a car dead fast and you turn the car wheel dead strong, did the car to skid? That's the skid marks I heard. I said, like, just like a sudden turn. But I'm going to tell you what was advanced to me. I'm going to tell you what was advanced to me as to what happened. I am told that in holding discussions with a significant political personality within the PLP, very significant, that they were told, can you imagine that the FNM proposes this referendum and that this referendum unanimously is supported so close to an election, and then that the FNM then goes to the people on a referendum to change the constitution, what do you think will happen at election time? Will that not, that euphoria not carry forward, and you will doom any election bid you have? That's what I'm advised was the case. And so the about turn turned and happened. That's what I'm advised. That could be untrue. I'm only telling you what I was like. But I can tell you, being in it, it seemed a rash.
And seeing the votes, and remember, the votes taken were taken. We had to do a roll call on the votes. What do you, I forget what you call it in those assemblies, when every person has to actually say their vote. You can't just, you call your name and say, I vote so-and-so. Forgot what you call it now. Anyway, it happened. So every man mark a man, is a man, and every woman mark a man. And then, just the thing just tripped. And you know, once that happened, strategic personalities started coming forward. One by one, whether it was a bishop or a significant lawyer, boom, they're against it, they're against it. The man after that, daily wrote the note. You could see it coming. Now, I was a young, feisty, minister in the FNM, and I was one of those who was charged with taking this message forward, trying to sell this referendum. I was young, people thought maybe young people would listen to me, etc. But, you know, the more I went out there, the more I saw, right, this was not going well. It had become a very political issue. And frankly,
my discussions with people were not intelligent discussions. But we were not having discussions on the merits of the what was right or wrong about making equal the ability of Bahamian women and men to transfer their citizenship, or Bahamian married women to foreign men having their children have their citizenship versus a single. Or you trying to break, who said this, you're trying to backdoor this and you're trying to backdoor that, what next? And it was so unintelligent, but it was difficult to even get by. It was frustrating, it was awful. And sometimes it was vitriolic. I had bishops who called me, and we were talking, and they were irate, and they were frothing at the mouth and accusing us and me of being evil and wicked and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes I had to back off. It was terrible. But it wasn't intelligence. It wasn't intelligent discussions that were being had. It was politics, bottom line. And it carried on. I'm not saying it was politics for everyone, but many of the discussions I had, you could tell it was political. We did some campaigning on the referendum at homes, and boy, I could tell you, even some FNMs had become combative on the issue. So in the end, it failed. And, you know, I don't blame, like, well, let's put it like this. A people. If Bahamians soberly looked at an issue and said, you know what, Chivago, with the greatest respect to y'all, I'm not prepared to have Bahamian women transfer their citizenship. I'm not prepared to do that. I'm not prepared because I believe that a Bahamian man has a certain privileged perch in the Bahamian society. I believe that a Bahamian man is not subject to certain kinds of vulnerabilities that a Bahamian woman would be subject to, and so therefore I'm not prepared to do it. If they had that discussion with me, I'd say, okay, well, fine, you know, no problem. You know, I wouldn't agree with it, but that's your argument. That wasn't what was happening, though. That wasn't happening. My body don't support this. I don't support it. And on the flip side, when the PLP proposed a referendum, the FNM, some FNMs did the very same thing. The PLP supporters, I proposed it, not me. I support that. Said, good day, Mr. Lang, great show. I'd like to have one of the books, okay. And that's another one for the book, okay. Stack says, the Bahamian Constitution is not perfect, although many persons feel that it is infallible and should not be tampered with. Despite efforts to educate the public on areas which need addressing, many pastors and opposition politicians hijacked these efforts, encouraging the public to vote against changes. Until we can all get on the same page, we will never see progress. Well, we are not all going to ever get on the same page, so we are never going to see progress because we are not all ever going to do that. His text says, good afternoon. It's the fault of the Bahamian people. We don't trust each other. We don't have political trust, financial trust, or just regular trust. We don't trust any politician to make any change because we think they will be working for their personal gain. Okay? His text says, good day, Mr. Lang. I think it's officials brought the citizens' amendments that we actually wanted to would vote for the change. For example, Article 7, I'm sure we would have an overwhelming support for that to change, okay? I agree with you that perhaps maybe the issues ought to be issues maybe more close to people's hearts. I do not agree with you that it is an automatic thing that you will have an overwhelming support for that, even though you might be right. I don't know, but you might be right. This text is highlighting, it's called the division of the house. That's right, division, that's right. Every member has to say, aye, Chivago Lang say yay. You ain't again, no group, everybody sit down. Everybody sit down and go. All in favor stand, propose with the all will rise. No, you ain't gonna do that. You can stand up and go, Marco City. Yay. Texas, Mr. Lang, you ever listen to yourself screaming at everyone every day? Oh, really? As all of us are dumb. Okay, well, you now use if you are writing me a text and you are using foul language. And you are calling, you are saying that people think you are dumb. Why would you use your language to make the point? Because only a dumb person would use foul language in a text they would expect for someone to read. You have to be very dumb to do that because you have to know better than that, right? And honestly, when I, first of all, I don't scream every day. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I condemn the lie that you are participating in. The second thing is, today I was just being animated to draw a signal attention to this issue. If you can't take it, why would you, a smart human being, listen to what you said. You said, screaming at everyone every day. Why would you, a sensible human being, supposedly, because presumably you're not dumb, 3 day at everyone for 2 hours. Why would you do that? You would have to be an absolute foolish person to do that. I wouldn't do it. Okay? So this text says, regardless of the PLP's turnabout on the citizenship referendum, the phrasing and sequencing of the questions in education thereto were deliberately confusing and disorganized, many proved. Okay, I will accept that some may have been confused on it, but you think it was deliberate? You think that Hubert Ingram, Shivago Lang, and Damivi Dumont, and all of us sat there and decided, let's make this deliberately confusing? You really believe that? Now, I'm not saying it wasn't confusing for some people, but I'm saying you really believe that? And there were people who voted for it, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands. So they were also confused? How come they voted yes? How come Mr. Christian Doors voted for it in the House of Assembly when it first came forward? Really? That's what you think? And lawyers and accountants and businessmen and others who voted for it, and it was still confusing. Pastors and teachers, okay? I'm reading a note here, right? I'm reading a note here. This is what the note says. You are one person. It's all about you and your mommy. Really? You are a hater. Let me tell you something, right? Seriously? I spent hours on these shows. Hours and hours. And I talk about me and my mommy. You know what? Do you have mommy issues? Like, that could be possible, you know. Is there a jealousy there? An envy that I would dare to mention my mother? Is that the problem? I'm sorry, man. Whatever the issue was, I'm sorry. Sorry you had it and have it. This text, get dumb, tell them they're socially and mentally inept. They won't know you calling them dumb. I didn't call them dumb. I'm just saying if you cussing in a text that you're reading, you have to believe that you might be what you are calling others in that way, okay? I mean, I don't know what the point of that was. All right, so there was that political aspect of it, for sure, to my observation. But I also saw that there were people, listen, there are people who genuinely were concerned that somehow this referendum was, this change of the Constitution was going to be bringing in a certain liberalism in the Bahamian cultural sexuality that they did not want. And so that became a part of it as well, right? And so I think, you know, people say you have to make it simpler when you bring it forward. If you're going to introduce a constitutional change, you have to make it simpler. Maybe. Hey, would you like to, I mean, I don't know how to do it, but maybe that's part of it. But the fact of the matter is we have not in 50 years changed our constitution. And notwithstanding that we've had experts look at it and make recommendations for changing it, we have not done so. Mr. McQueeny suggests that if we do it, we take small steps. And that could be true. Maybe the number of items in the first referendum was too many for people to consider at one time. Maybe that was part of the problem. So what his suggestion is, you know, take small steps, quite of a time, and maybe in the one thing you get a win, and that creates some confidence in people to have some willingness to push forward a change. Maybe in the simplicity of it and the smallness of it, you don't get the too much room for political manipulation to cause the confusion that could be caused when you have that kind of partisanship come into the picture. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. We're going to take a break and we'll be back after this break.
So much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches. Fidelity,
we're good for you. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I noticed you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Make sure that they check and talk more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Sorry about that technical glitch. I don't know what that was, but hey, it happens. If you want to give us a call, you can do so on any of the following numbers: 323-6232. Or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So switching notes a bit now, I see that Prime Minister Davis in making a speech to his colleagues at ECLA, I believe it was, indicated that the Bahamas was finding itself at increasing risk as a consequence of the crisis, growing crisis in Haiti. He said the crisis in Haiti is getting worse. He said the tragic situation there continues to pose a substantial threat, not only to Haitians, but also to the Bahamas and neighboring countries, all of whom are experiencing a significant increase in irregular and often dangerous migration. Says with the support and leadership of Haiti, collectively we can, through ECLA, and other regional organizations, help Haitians build a path out of the crisis. Okay, so he did go on to commend the Haitian-led efforts. He said, we commend Haitian-led efforts to hold elections before the end of 2020. Public security posed by violent gangs to relieve hunger and malnutrition and to alleviate the political crisis. He said, enhanced regional partnership can especially help to scale up capacity building for the local police and tackle trafficking, particularly in people, contraband, and guns. Now, Haiti, the Haitian situation is longstanding. I mean, like, Haiti had a president assassinated. Okay, a president was assassinated. So I don't know that something could create more tumult in a country than the assassination of the leader of its government. Right? We know what, I mean, that, like, listen, if you are protecting a president, right, and or a prime minister every day, police officers and them, and if you could get to a president in his home, kill the president, shoot his wife, how is an ordinary citizen supposed to feel safe? But that happened in Haiti. And so Haiti has been a matter of enormous crisis for a long time. Why by now has not a United States of America, CARICOM, the Latin American countries, that they feel so united in terms of Haiti's participation in the Organization of American States? Like, why has not, let me quote the Prime Minister, has not regional efforts gone forward to arrest the threat to public security, to scale up capacity building for local police and tackle trafficking, particularly in people in contraband and guns? Like, come on, let's be real. Let's be real, folks. Come on, let's be serious. If billions of dollars in aid and investments have flowed through Haiti, billions of dollars, why would not by now, if such effort could make such a difference in Haiti, why would it not have been done? Why would a prime minister in 2023, following three other prime ministers and all the prime ministers of all the other countries who preceded him, and all the presidents of all the other countries have preceded him, why would they not have concluded that this is what was necessary to bring stability and peace to Haiti? Could the issue be that simple? Could that be it? Could the world be so, mind you, remember now, he, as Prime Minister indicated, countries are vulnerable to an unstable Haiti. So why would countries vulnerable to unstable Haiti, not themselves, be advocating with strength for this to be done in Haiti? CARICOM didn't just come around. ECLAC did not just come around. The Organization of American States did not just come around. They've always been there. The United Nations always been there. What is it? Could they be so paralyzed? Could they be so insensitive? Could they be so uncaring? Could they be so inept that they can't recognize that, you know, if we get together, we could do some things and cause Haiti to be better off? You know, in the international arena, unless you belong to one of the G7 countries, and you are dealing with practical issues like nuclear proliferation, East Asia, might even say environmental issues, climate change. If you are dealing with countries with a strategic, geostrategic interest to one of the G7 countries, unless those things abound, those realities abound, the notion of coming together to do something about something becomes speechifying. And probably no greater case exists for it that is seen in Haiti and in some countries in Africa. We get up in the United Nations and lament the situation, right? Get up in ECLAC and lament the situation. Call for X, Y, and Z. Can it be that simple? Will we be here like this again 10 years from now, with Haiti as it is? Haitians are trying to get to the United States. Oh, they're trying to get to the Bahamas, and they'll stop here and stay here if they can. But Haitians are trying to get to the United States. The United States knows that. They have U.S. aid to Haiti now is probably in the billions and billions. Billions and billions. Since 2010 earthquake, since the 2010 earthquake, the United States has provided over $5.6 billion of assistance to Haiti. $5.6 billion. That's almost half of the Bahamas' GDP. The Haitian economy, $1 billion. Now I want you to think about that. The Haitian population is 11.5 million. 11.5 million, that's the size of the Haitian population. 11.5 million, right? So 11.5 million people is 28 times the size of the Bahamian economy, yet the Haitian economy is about 75% the Bahamian economy. The Bahamas have a population of 400,000. If you want to get a sense of how impoverished Haiti is, those numbers will give you an idea. It is really something to behold. The Haitian situation is just something to behold. As Tex says, Mr. Lang, the situation in Haiti is so complex and difficult that the United States has literally left them to fend for themselves. Bahamas will always be the recipient of Haitian immigration problem. Sure. I don't know what the U.S., I don't know if they have given up, but it can't be the U.S. alone. I mean, like Haiti, an immensely more difficult time today in getting international help than it has had any other time. Why? Because most countries in the world, since the onset of the pandemic, have turned inside, inward, looking mostly at domestic issues, their own self-preserving stuff. And so finding a space, a priority space on the list of priorities of countries in the world, especially the ones that can do something about it, the Bahamas, and we could put all the CARICOM together, and it seems outside of inspiration and leadership, there is little that we can do to impact the situation in Haiti. But getting on the agenda in any meaningful and serious way of a United States, of America, Canada, where people are saying, look, we have to look after home, it can be hard. And therefore hard with the Haitian challenge. It's a difficult one. And so I read Prime Minister, I hear his calling, and it is appropriate to call. But I woefully believe that not much is to come of it. Not much is to come of it. I mean, Haiti has been visited by this one and that one, approached by this one and that one. It is just humongous. I mean, seriously, folks, listen to me. Seriously. Do you not wonder what it is? Why this country is so persistently in turmoil as it is? Oh, I know some people say, oh, it's they worship voodoo. They worship the devil. Man, let me tell you something, right? They got some countries in this world don't even believe in no kind of God like we believe in, so far as we like to think. Right? They do not. And they are doing abundantly better than Haiti. Abundantly better. Right? So is it religion? I mean, what is it about the Haitian situation that entrenches instability and violence in the way that it does? It's very hard to figure out. I have Haitian friends. I have college graduates, some who lived there for long, some who are old, some who are young. And I've asked them. And I have to tell you, many say, boy, it's the Haitian people. Like, we... Producer, let's take the final break and pay our respects to our sponsors and then be a wrap up. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host. Come down.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Are you down lately?
Yeah, sometimes I just, I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Let's have these check and talks more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs a short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. You know, when I think of Haiti and some other countries in the world and the persistent state of the problems in those countries, and I think of all the potential we say that the world, the human race has to solve its problems, to do great things and all that kind of stuff. Send a man to the, men to the moon. We could put satellites in space to look down on us. We could send we can send explorers way out almost to the edge of our galaxy to try and bring back images and messages. We could create businesses that are the size of 30, 40 countries. And we can't solve the Haitian problem. At least we haven't to date. We haven't to date. Why? Maybe there's something about these problems that reflect our own choices, decisions, that notwithstanding any best effort to assist, if enough of us are minded to work against our own interest or work in a way where in pursuit of our interest, we actually undermine the interest of the entire country, then nothing can be done. Maybe that's it. Maybe that was the frustration that God was up against when he created two human beings, and one of the human beings in a fit of rage, having spoken to God and feeling done in because of God's response to his sacrifice, he go and kill your little brother. Maybe why couldn't God solve that problem? Why couldn't he prevent that problem? Maybe this is what it means to be free and human. You've been listening to Langia Ho. So glad you could join us today. God bless you all. Take care. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.